Of course, we might continue to think of justice as central to a concept of virtue, understanding virtue as a general description of a life well lived, given the necessary fact that we live, after all, as we do, in a social context of whatever political stripe. But still, we may wonder whether this is the most important relation that's stressed in the dialogue, The Republic. Notice that here, and in what we said earlier, we've employed not merely a broad concept of justice, but we've also employed a broad concept of virtue, a concept in which virtue is a general state or condition of morality. We might think of the Platonic notion of virtue along these common sense lines, as rather like this common sense notion, having to do with morally proper modes of behavior. But it may be, in fact, that it responds, that the Platonic notion, that is, responds to a notion of virtue that's subtly different from that concept, and that what we find in Plato is different when we find the term that's translated as virtue. When we consider this fact and begin to think about the meaning of virtue in Plato, it turns out the issue becomes interestingly more complex. So let's ask ourselves this question. When is the notion of virtue first introduced in the Republic? Well, it comes early, first, in Book 1 at 335b, when we read in the dialogue of the virtue of dogs and the virtue of horses. That is, the characteristics that make dogs good dogs, or make horses good horses. And shortly later, in a discussion between Socrates and Thrasymachus in Book 1 at 353b, the notion of virtue is connected with that of function. The Greek word for function is ergon. A function is, and later on we'll notice how important this becomes for Aristotle, the characteristic activity that something engages in. It's what something is busy at doing when it's most busy being itself. It means, and you can hear this in the English cognates of ergon, which is connected with the English word work. The word is wergon in the European and werk in German and work in English. It means the work specific to an entity under some particular description. So when, in the conversation with Thrasymachus, Socrates connects the notion of virtue to that of function, he does so by saying that a virtue is the quality that something has that enables it to perform its function well. That is, a virtue is what allows something to be itself, characteristically, in a good fashion. That explains, then, why we talk about the virtue of a dog or of a horse, because the virtue of a dog or a horse really are the characteristics that dogs or horses have, by virtue of which, if I may be allowed a bad pun, they are able to be good dogs or good horses. Putting the matter most simply, we might say that a virtue is a good quality. And understood morally, then, a virtue is a good state of character. And that's how it is in Plato and Aristotle in general. A virtue is specifically a quality of an entity by virtue of which the entity is enabled to do what it does well. It is, in other words, a dispositional characteristic, a capacity that a thing has, which enables it to engage well in its distinctive mode of being. A virtue, as we'll talk about this more when we talk about Aristotle's ethics, a virtue results in action and is brought about by action. The clearest articulation of this, as I just said, we'll remark at the very end of these lectures in Aristotle's ethics. But we can see this in Plato, and then we can see this always in the subsequent Western tradition of talk about virtue. For example, Augustine and Thomas, who define virtue as a good quality of the mind, or in their Latin use, a good habit, that is, a good power of the soul or dispositional characteristic.